May it please the Court, my name is Troy Nader Maslami, and I represent the petitioner's case, Zhu Juan Chen. This is a case regarding whether the petitioner, Ms. Chen, has a well-founded fear of political persecution based on the coercive population control program provision of 8 U.S.C. Section 1101A42B. She was a 27...
And your brief, Mr. Mudd. I've never seen a brief like this. You don't engage with the issues in this case. You just quote from a lot of previous opinions. What's that about?
Well, Judge,
I've never seen that. Have you ever? Do you regularly file briefs which just consist of quotations from previous opinions?
Judge, this case is a case that I felt was remarkably similar to a case that the court recently decided, and that's why this case was written a little bit differently.
That's fine. But you have to engage with the specific reasoning of the immigration judge and the Board of Immigration Appeals, and you don't say anything about their opinions.
Well, I do quote the board's opinion in the case, and I do talk about the immigration judge's opinion in the case. So it's argument regarding.
But I just when I look at your brief, I just see quotation marks everywhere.
Correct, Judge, because
I don't see anything. Which isn't quotation marks. I mean, you could obviously quote from the immigration judge, the Board of Immigration Appeals, and then. Say, oh, this is contrary to X case, and quote the X case. But you have to indicate what are the specific errors that you find in the board's opinion or the immigration judge's opinion. I don't see that. What's the strongest evidence that your client faces persecution if she is returned to China?
She has a number of documents that she has obtained that
were. You don't discuss them in your brief, do you?
I do discuss them regarding whether they were discounted by the immigration judge for various reasons, such as authentication reasons.
Let me discuss the documents.
Okay, we discuss the affidavits regarding the individuals,
where?
Age 24 of my brief, and this is where the immigration judge complains that they were submitted in other people's cases.
I don't understand. I'm looking at page 24. This is quotations.
Correct. This is where it talks
this
about
is quotation from another case. Isn't it?
Let me see. Actually, no, it's from the record R at 81. This is from.
I don't understand. This paragraph, which ends with R at 81, is a quotation.
Correct.
So is this a quotation from your brief by the immigration judge or what?
This is a quotation from Judge, I'm trying to look for it. I believe this is a quotation from the immigration judge's opinion himself.
Well, how can you win your case by quoting from the immigration judge but not commenting on it?
Well, I do comment on it. I comment on it right afterwards in On page 28, I quote from the court's recent decision in Chan regarding
yes,
this omission.
No, you can't. You don't understand. You can't just write a brief which consists of quotations from our cases, from the board. You have to have an argument. You have to make an argument focused on the... I don't see your argument anywhere.
Well, the argument is that it's contrary
where
to what Chan says.
Is anything in your brief that isn't in quotation marks? I have never, in my 32 years as a judge, ever seen a brief like this. It was just quotations.
Well, Judge, I thought it was fairly clear that it was so very contrary to what was said in Chan.
No, counsel. The point of the cases from which you are quoting is that we concluded that in those cases, the Board of Immigration Appeals had improperly analyzed the evidence in those records.
Correct.
Well, here we have a different record. The question is whether the Board properly analyzed the evidence of this record. And I don't see how, by quoting from some different case saying the Board didn't adequately analyze that record, we can get any purchase on whether the Board adequately analyzed this record. Is there some place in your brief, it escapes me too, as it escaped Judge Posner, where you engage this record and make an argument about whether the Board adequately analyzed this record?
Well, Judge, the thing is that I don't see a tremendous amount of difference between
fine, but you have to say that and explain, you know. Now, it's true if the Board had, I suppose if the Board had quoted, if the Board's opinion in this case consisted simply of a quotation of its opinion in the different Chen case, yeah, maybe you wouldn't need much of a brief. But it's a different opinion, and you have to explain why the differences are immaterial. And you didn't do that.
Well,
have you filed other briefs like this, briefs that consist entirely of quoted passages with no commentary of your own?
I don't recall specifically why I've written a number of briefs.
I've never seen a brief like this. I have heard 6,000 oral arguments and countless non-argued cases. I've never seen a brief like this. And it's totally ineffectual. It doesn't engage with any... You didn't file a... You could have filed a reply brief. Because, after all, the government makes all sorts of arguments in its brief. You don't engage with any... You don't comment on any of them.
Judge, I do make some argument regarding the difference between reasonable likelihood and reasonable possibility. The government did respond to that. There is argument regarding her $80,000 restaurant that the argument makes a large part of in their brief regarding whether she would have the ability to pay a very large Chinese family planning fine.
Where do you address that? That, I think, is different from Chen. There's some indication here that her husband suggested maybe they could pay the fine.
Judge, that part of the argument I'm not sure I entirely understand, in that the government's brief itself...
What did you say about that argument? That's something that the government definitely points to.
Right, but the government also admits in their brief that the restaurant was entirely financed. And they also admit in their brief that she earned $300 to $400 RMB working at a factory.
You're arguing from what, that the government has made your case for you, so you didn't have to make an argument? Is that your...
Well, Judge, I didn't have the government's brief at the time I wrote mine, but in reading the government's brief...
Yeah, that's why you file a reply brief. That's we looked at the government's argument, and then we wanted to see what you had to say, and you chose to be silent. It's a big problem for us and for your client, one would think.
Well, I'm sorry, Judge, but I felt that the government's argument, just simply saying that the person financed $80,000 of a restaurant, I'm not sure how they can, you know, how that supports an argument that being able to obtain a loan for $80,000 somehow supports the idea that they could.
It's what the husband said.
Well, Judge, it's fair. She financed a restaurant that she
sent
some money beforehand.
Look, if the husband said or implied that they maybe would be able to pay the fine, that's a piece of evidence for the government, which wasn't a factor in our earlier Chen case. So if you don't think it has any significance, you have to say so.
Well, Judge, the evidence that we have in this record, just aside from implying that she may be able to obtain a fine, is that she earned what she did in China.
Why didn't you say that in your brief, for goodness sake?
Well, it seems that a person who would be able to, I'm not entirely sure why somebody.
I'm asking you, why didn't you say it in your brief?
Well, Judge, I thought it was fairly clear on what I had written, but I can see now that it's not.
You didn't write anything. You just quoted. Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Mislam. Your time has expired. Dolly?
May it please the Court. My name is Lance Jolly. I represent the Attorney General, the respondent. This Court's decision in Chen does not warrant a grant of the petition for review.
But actually, I don't see any difference between this case. Maybe it's all moot because of Mr. Moslemi's approach. but I don't see what the difference is between this Chen and our earlier Chen. Which I don't think you don't cite it, do you, the earlier Chen?
I cite Chen. I cite Chen throughout. In fact, the principal part of the brief is about Chen.
Well, that's a little odd. You only cite on page 32.
Oh, then that's a fault of the table of authorities. But if you look at the table of contents,
okay, so what are the salient differences between the earlier Chen and the late Chen?
The Chen decision faulted the agency in the adjudicatory process, not for the actual result. In the conclusion, the court faulted the board for its inaccurate representation of the 2007 State Department profile, on which the board heavily relied.
And on which it relied in this case also.
It relied on it, yes.
Yeah, so what's the difference?
The representation of the report is not the inaccurate reading of the 2000 profile that the board had previously done.
Well, one thing that's emphasized in the earlier Chen case is the importance of registration and registering your children.
Correct.
That registration, they're basically outlaws. Now, the board's analysis in this case soft pedals the significance of registration. As if you say, well, you don't want to be aborted, or you don't want forced sterilization, you just don't register your children. I don't think, from what I understand, that is not a feasible option.
There are certainly severe consequences for not registering
well,
your children.
The board didn't say that in this case, that there are severe consequences.
Well, you have to pay for certain social compensation, like you have to pay for your education and other services.
You admit there are severe consequences, but the board in this case didn't say severe consequences.
They may not have used those words, but the immigration judge certainly.
Well, what did the board say about the consequences?
Let's see. It talks about the immigration judge's decision about the discussion of the household registration. The board discerned no clear error in the immigration judge's finding, which was based in part on the profile statement that parents of the U.S.-born children may choose to register their children as Chinese permanent residents to obtain free public education.
You're mumbling unintelligibly.
Sorry.
You slow down and speak.
Okay. On the bottom of page 3 of the record, going on to page 4.
By the record? You mean the board's opinion?
The second page of the board's decision, going on to the third page of the board's decision.
Okay.
The board discusses the immigration judge's finding regard to registering.
Okay, look at what it says. Parents of United States-born children may choose to register their children as Chinese permanent residents to obtain free publication, etc., or opt not to register their children, send them to private school, and pay more for similar benefits. That is an extremely tepid version of what we said in Chen about the consequences of not registering. And, of course, the board treats it, in this opinion, as a matter of insignificance.
It depends on what the petitioner demonstrates. In certain situations?
Well, if we say something based on the research reflected in the previous opinion about the consequences of registration, how can the board just say, well, it depends on what the petitioner says?
Whether while the board did consider the evidence presented and it reviewed the immigration judge's decision for clear error, while this court may differ on how it views the household registration and the failure to register the consequences of it, the fact of the matter is that the board considered the evidence petitioner raised.
But look what the board, look how the board, I'm looking at the board treats non-registration as a very live option, which removes the case from any concern with persecution.
Correct. For family planning purposes. If you do not register your children.
I know, but if you don't register your children, these children are basically outlaws. They're not considered mainland Chinese if they're not registered.
They're not considered lawful permanent residents.
Well, that's sort of grotesque, right? So these children grow up in a country where they're not considered citizens?
They're considered Chinese citizens.
No, they're not. How can you be a citizen and not a permanent resident? I don't understand that. You explain that to me.
When I understand the Chinese system of government, I would probably
teaching
somewhere
else.
Well,
understand how the Justice Department can defend these cases if it doesn't understand the Chinese system of government.
The petitioner has the burden of proof.
Tell me how the board can decide these cases without understanding the Chinese system of government.
It is the petitioner's burden to show that they are eligible for asylum.
We say in the previous Chen case that non-registration is an extremely severe consequence for a family. Can the board just brush that aside and say that this Chen didn't prove that?
I don't think it did just brush it aside. It can. Education is not a light consequence, and the board did not say anything of the sort. If you're not able to pay for education, that can be a severe consequence. However, petitioner failed to present any evidence that they would not be able to pay for such social services. And so, since they failed to show that these consequences would be severe to them.
Well, what are they going to be able to do in China to earn substantial money? Well, what's their background, training, education, so on?
I believe the testimony was that the petitioner earned 300 to 400 won per month.
Doing what?
In China. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Well, I'm not asking exactly what, generally what.
I think it was some form of manual labor.
I have no idea. Pardon?
I honestly don't. I think it was some sort of manual labor.
You think manual laborers in China earn enough money to send kids to private school?
She had friends and family. She was able to get a loan from her friends and family for an $80,000 restaurant. She was supposedly able to pay off the smuggling fee to come here, even though she might not herself earn lots of money in China. There's certainly indications that she has access to money, mm-hmm. to pay for these sort of things.
Okay, fact. That's good.
Okay, moving on from the household registration issue.
Now, there was one particularly strange thing I thought in the board's opinion. It says, little of the respondent's background information refers to Fujian province. All our one-child policy cases come from Fujian province. All of them. Where has the board been that it would make a statement of this sort?
Well, if you look at the country reports and the evidence the petitioner submitted, there's very little about what happens in the Fujian province.
Come on. But again, go back to our Chen case and all the congressional documents that the board pays no attention to. It's all about Fujian.
The Congressional Executive Commission report that was considered in this by the immigration judge. It discusses one vague campaign in Anxi County, if you look on page 575 of the record. If you look at other things, there might be campaigns in other provinces about family planning. The fact of the matter is that there is little in the country report.
There's a lot more than the country report.
The immigration judge acknowledged.
In the Chen case, we talked specifically about official statements on the web by the Fujian, government, with very ominous threats concerning violations of the one-child policy.
Now
that can't be ignored.
I believe you're referring to the Robert Lin document.
Yes.
He actually said he would register his children, so that's a distinguishing factor in this. But also,
the board didn't discuss this, right?
The board cited to it, and the immigration judge cited to it as well. And what we read as ominous does not necessarily make it so. The immigration judge acknowledged the many asylum claims based on forced sterilization. But when he weighed the evidence, he determined that the petitioner did not reach his burden.
Now, this Congressional Executive Commission on China said things like, authorities in, this is in the past year, talking about 2009, authorities in various localities forced women to undergo abortions and in some cases reportedly beat violators of population planning regulations, kicked her in the stomach to expedite the abortion, and on and on and on and on, right? And that's the kind of information that is discussed in our earlier Chen opinion.
The immigration judge acknowledged that there are forced abortions, forced sterilizations that occur. However, he determined that they were isolated instances.
How do you know they're isolated instances? The literature doesn't support that. I mean, the studies do not support that.
If you look at his evidence that he submitted with regards to his local
yes,
community.
Yes, I know. Look, these people are not capable of conducting surveys of abortion and sterilization practices in China.
This petitioner,
they don't
the father
live in China.
Did.
They don't have the money. Now, the Chen case, a previous Chen case, gathered together a lot of study, reports of studies by apparently neutral groups like this Congressional Executive Committee, and the board in this current opinion, in this case, it doesn't pay any attention to that.
Both the board and the IJ, especially the immigration judge, considered the reports. And it's the petitioner's burden to establish that she has a well-founded fear. And certainly there are cases of forced sterilization and forced abortion. In the 2007 profile, consulate general officials have interviewed visa applicants from a wide variety, a cross-section of the Fujian province, and they found no indication of forced abortion or sterilization. It does not mean it does not occur.
A discussion of the 2007 report in
right.
the Chen case.
And in Chen, this court...
The board had quoted misleadingly, leaving out the critical last half of the sentence.
Right, and that sentence was with reference to the reports by the Fujian province officials themselves. And as this court says, yeah, it makes no sense for a Fujian province official to say, yeah, there's forced abortions when it's against the law. But there's other information in the 2007 profile that doesn't have that same
taint.
Okay,
well, thank you very much, Mr. Jolly, and we'll move on to our next case.
Thank you.